Hi, my name is Simon Kustenmacher, and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon and Uncommon Clips are produced by Narelle, a digital agency built for challenger brands and talent. To learn more, head to narelle.com. That's NEURALLE.com.
Yeah, we were talking about that before, about the idea of geopop. So this is a huge channel on YouTube where it basically condenses clips from talks from a Zihan. It was a George Friedman. There's a few others in there, and they will clip it and create like a topics of the week, and they'll be talking about it and so on. And obviously, this has become a huge channel because of what has happened with Ukraine and Russia, right? And just generally what is going on with supply chains and how that impacts supply chains and so forth. So if you were to think about what if you had a channel called Demo Pop, what do you think would be like the core topics that are covered right now? Do you think it'd be a lot of what's happening on Geopop, or are there other things that are being potentially missed?
That'd be a good overlap. So the number one hot topic that everyone, running 80 plus presentations a year, the number one question at the moment is about skills shortage.
Yeah.
It's the number one issue that every industry, everywhere in Australia has is, where the hell do I find my staff? And then people go, where have all the workers gone? I get that they are not coming to Australia. So fair enough. So we have an Australian skills shortage.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. I accept that. But why do other countries, why does everyone seem to have a skills shortage?
Mm.
And why, if everyone has a skills shortage, why do we still have high youth unemployment in Spain? This is just really confusing to people.
Yeah. This is, okay. I've had this perspective on it. And do you have a firm opinion on why this exists right now?
Well, there are, from an Australian perspective, the easiest answer in the short term is this is migration driven. We rely on taking in 180,000 net new migrants per year. And instead of doing this, in the first year of COVID, we lost 90,000. These people will not come back. So we will have permanently, we'll have this little dent in our demographic profile of people that we thought we would get, that we won't be getting. But there were 2 years of COVID. The second year wasn't as bad in terms of what we lost in terms of population. But so there's just a dent. So we will not be making this up. So we will, if you look forward 10 years time, the population in the mid-20s will be the same in 2030 than it is in 2020 or was in 2020. So it will be really hard to find people. This is the graduate level intake for many organizations.
Right.
It will be really hard to find those. That said, if you are a Gen Z that will enter the workforce in the coming decade, congratulations, you will be able to actually get a really good income right out of high school or right out of university.
So this skill shortage, are you saying that it exists primarily on the lower end of skills, entry-level jobs, or across the board?
Across the board, not so much once you hit the late 40s.
Okay.
Because there people aren't impacted by migration. Migrants in Australia are 18 to 39. That covers 80% of migration, essentially. And so we're missing out on those folks. If you're in your 40s and 50s and there is a skills shortage, you don't find experienced workers in their 50s at the moment. That's simply because that is Gen X at the moment. So Gen X was meant to be born in the 60s and 70s. But just when we started to have Gen X, the contraceptive pill was introduced.
Gotcha.
So that kept them small. Then no-fault divorce was introduced. That kept them small. Then the 70s was a decade of low migration intake. So we end up with a really small generation. The next, sorry.
As a population size, we're talking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So does this exist because we've come out of a two-year period where all of a sudden the demand for certain services, products, and so forth is huge, but there are a bunch of people who have left certain segments of the economy, the workforce, and you can pull many examples, but the one that I always look to at the moment was the airline industry. You had a lot of people with a lot of knowledge who were boomers, maybe late Gen X, that basically left the industry completely. So you're saying it's got nothing to do with that, and it is actually to do with migration.
So that actually is a case as well. So we reshifted population within the workforce. So the airline industry, airports are huge.
Mm.
Big employer. They couldn't operate during COVID.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Well, you fire people. Those people like to eat, so they actually find a job. Mm-hmm. They definitely won't find a job at another airline because that's also locked down. But they switch industry. They'll find whatever new way. Then they work there because this industry had a skill shortage because of migrants not coming. Then all of a sudden, Australia opens up again. You can fly again. The airports hire. There are few people to hire. It's hard to convince people that now switch jobs, that are now working in a different sector, say, please come back. And we're talking about baggage handlers. We're talking about desk staff and so on. And you can only do so much automation in a short time to improve processes at an airport. So you miss those people. And then you have huge surges during something like a school holiday weekend. Yeah. And there's no way that those airports can cope. I spoke to the CEO of Melbourne Airport, 4,000 staff shortages. Congratulations. How do you manage this?
You can't.
Yeah,
you just have to do your best.
You can do your best and you find luxury accommodation, luxury resorts. Those guys have no staff, but they want to provide top service. So what do? They operate at 40% capacity. They pretend that 50, 60% of their hotel doesn't exist. And then they continue to provide the same service. And so you go there and everything is wonderful. You wonder, why is that? And so it took me a while to find out in my travels that they just on purpose decide to operate at limited capacity. And they say they're fully booked, but you see barely anyone at the breakfast buffet.
Interesting.
But then you have other hotels, like the mid-range hotels where you go in there, they operate at full capacity, but they do it with 60, 70% of the staff. Yeah. And so then you end up with entering a hotel and you'll have little notes printed on your sheet that says, due to staff shortage, we will only service your room every 3 nights.
Mm.
Or if you are in the middle, top end, people say something like, if you forego room service for the day, we'll shout you a cocktail at the bar. Mm. Or these things, you know, so see those little stories play out as you travel through Australia, and businesses need to come up with solutions.
Yeah.
And
they need to innovate.
Yeah. And some of those businesses need to take a really big story. So if the Continental Hotel in Sorrento in Victoria, a really beautiful hotel at the top richest tourism destination in Victoria, made this wonderful hundreds of millions of dollars renovation, big fat thing. They apparently advertised 80 jobs and they got 8 applications. Simply because even if staff was available there, the rents in Sorrento got so high that you can't possibly, if you are a low income worker, afford to live there. So why would you relocate from a more affordable place to a less affordable place to get the same or tiny bit more money working at this hotel? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right.
So what did the hotel need to do? Well, there was just, and sometimes you're lucky enough, they had an old aged care home lying around somewhere in the city. So they bought this and transformed it into staff accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
These are the lengths that businesses go through in order to provide a complete narrative to their workers. Because all of a sudden, this is a good deal. All of a sudden, it's, hey, you get affordable living here. You get, you know, your low income job, but you also live in a really nice part of the city or of the country, and you can go surfing, you can go frolic at the beach. That's good.
Mm.
The similar stories played out in Byron Bay. You know, I collect those stories as I travel Australia, but that's what you need to go through.
Gotcha.
But once again, this is what the big dogs in town can do.
Mm.
The smaller players need to band together, and that's an even bigger shift.
Yeah,
because the big dogs, they can just use money and throw money at a problem. It's always good if you have money, use money to solve a problem. That's easy solution. But the smaller players, they need to band together. And they, in the process, need to let go of the notion of competition, which is crazy for many small businesses, because they still think of other small businesses as the competition. That is gone.
So what do you mean by band together? Do you mean merge businesses, or do you mean something else entirely?
I mean the interconnection, especially if you talk about tourism industries, tourism towns, why those guys can't find workers. They can't find workers because housing became unaffordable. So in order to fix the staff shortage for those businesses, they need to fix the housing shortage. They cannot rely on the free market to do so. The free market will not provide housing at the lower end for decades.
Yeah.
Simply because there's demand wherever you look at all ends of the spectrum. And so the free market can't possibly justify to operate at the low margin end of the business. So they will operate at the high margin end of the business. If you want to provide key worker housing, affordable housing, you need to have a publicly owned developer, a public housing making machine that the government creates. It's more than just the government handing over a couple of dollars to a private developer to build housing. That doesn't cut the mustard. So that's quite a big shift. But there is no reason that small businesses, if they work together in an all-of-community approach, that they can't create housing.
Interesting. What do you see, like, again, being selfish here with professional services, being in the marketing advertising space, and it's sort of a domain that you're in, what do you think are the biggest shortfalls that, say, smaller businesses are going to have to deal with in this space that they could band together on?
If I'm looking at marketing and demographics, the first thing that comes to mind is you want to be really clear and aware where the growth opportunities are, where people are moving to simply from a life stage and age perspective. So what I mean is, if I look ahead 10 years, the single cohort that will grow the most over the next decades are the early 40-somethings, so 40 to 45-year-olds. That's the big millennial generation moving into the middle age. So that means the big millennial generation will start families. They do all those boring family formation stage things, but they do it with a bit of a millennial coat of paint, if you will. So you need to prepare for that.
Yeah.
So just, what do millennial barbecue sales look like? What do millennial... What do you do when you're in your 40s? Your kids go to school. You buy an SUV, but you will probably Google plug-in hybrid SUV or something like this. You know, you'll still buy a house. Maybe if you have a bit more money, but money is a difficult topic, maybe you will want to have it a bit greener, a bit more better insulated than previous generations because energy costs go up. So there's that movement. Then you have Gen Zs, you know, the TikTok generation. Which was meant to grow in Australia quite a bit through migration. But we now missed out for 2 years of migration-driven growth for Gen Z. So that will never come back. So Gen Z will be smaller than we expected it to be.
Interesting.
So then you wonder, if you follow Gen Z, you know, they are now in their teens, really. In the coming decade, they will start to stagnate, essentially, because they will move into the early 20s. And we don't grow, we don't create any more young 20-somethings old in Australia. So that market will stagnate. That means from a workforce perspective, those folks will be highly sought after. They will command premium paychecks, which is nice. You know, those people who view Gen Z very cynically and say they are entitled an entitled generation, they will not like to hear that, because that's really just emphasizing this trend, if you will.